Welcome to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I'm Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts or at the Locked On Yankees handle. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We're just under a week away from the start of the winter meetings. We'll discuss what could possibly happen at the winter meetings and what could possibly not happen at the winter meetings. We have news about Blake Treinen and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. I don't know how much a regular fan pays attention to the winter meetings. Since I started blogging full-time about the Yankees in 2011, the winter meetings have been a goal for me, and I've never been able to attend. And I'm so bummed that I'm not attending this year because they're out in San Diego, and I've never been there, and I heard it's really great. Although when you attend the winter meetings, you don't usually get to go out because you're confined to where the winter meetings are held because there's so many things going on. You have agents there, you have players there, you have broadcasting outlets there, there are seminars and job fairs, and it's just a whole event that happens. And I don't know if people realize that. So anyway, this year's edition of the winter meetings begin on December 8th. Yankee fans will probably want to pay attention to the winter meetings just to see if anything happens. I don't think anything's going to happen. I have a feeling it's going to be another one of those blah years when you hope something happens, but something won't happen. I don't know. I'm not very confident in Hal Steinbrenner right now. It was the Daily News back cover, I believe, the other night that Christy Ackert wrote about the Yankees and Gerrit Cole and how the Yankees would love to have Cole in their stocking this Christmas. And how there's a way they could do it. Of course there's a way they could do it. They're the Yankees. They could do anything. I don't know. I am preparing myself for them to not get Gerrit Cole and for me to be angry about it. I am so pessimistic about this. I really think that they're going to shore up the bullpen and just say, oh, well, we'll have a full year of Luis Severino. We'll have a full year of Jordan Montgomery. We have Paxton back. Tanaka's back. I don't know. And speaking of the bullpen, a report came out the day after Thanksgiving about the Yankees possibly being interested in Blake Treinen. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic wrote an article about it and said that Treinen is available because the A's are one of those teams that always has to have a low payroll. And he might be one of the guys who's pushed out. Now, he had a good 2018. His 2019 wasn't that strong, which could actually help the Yankees because they could get him for cheap, because suddenly the Yankees are about getting everyone for a cheaper price because, God forbid, they go over the luxury tax. So Treinen is 31. He was drafted by the Florida Marlins back in the 2010 amateur draft. In the 23rd round, he didn't sign. A year later, the A's drafted him in the 7th round, and then he was traded to the Nationals in a 3-team deal. He made his debut with the Nationals in 2014, and he stayed there for 3.5 seasons. The Nationals traded him back to Oakland at the trade deadline in 2017 in a deal for current World Series champion Sean Doolittle. So Treinen has been in Oakland ever since. So, like I said, he had a better year in 2018 than he had in 2019. He's a ground ball specialist. In 2018, his ground ball percentage was 51.9. In 2019, it was 42.8. The batting average against in 2018 was 157. In 2019, it was 254. So the Yankees might look at those numbers and think, oh, we can get him for nothing compared to what we would have had to pay for him a year ago. The most glaring difference between 2018 and 2019 was Treinen's home run per nine. In 2018, it was 0.22. In 2019, it was 1.38. I know that doesn't seem like a big jump, but it is. His strikeouts also went down. His walks went up. 2018, his strikeout percentage was 31.8, and his walk percentage was 6.7. In 2019, the strikeout percentage was not only 22.2, but compared to 31.8, that's a big drop off. And the walks went up to 13.9. I don't think this is a case of a pitcher who's old and everything's dropping off. I think this year may have been a blip because of the improvements he made in 2017 when he was traded to Oakland and how well he did in 2018. I think maybe he just needs a change of scenery, and with Matt Blake as the new pitching coach, maybe he could work with Trinan. So, I mean, I think it could be a good move for the Yankees. I just don't want them to make this move and then put out to everyone that they don't need someone like Gerrit Cole, because they do. I will say this until Gerrit Cole is signed by someone. The Yankees need him. Remember, to get this show every day, subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code Locked On during checkout. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Away right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts/offers. This morning, as I was looking through websites and blogs and Yankees.com to see if anything was going on, which there really isn't a lot going on, I noticed that Bobby Montano of Views from 314 wrote a post about the 10 biggest hits of the decade and regular season, going by WPA. And I remember all of them, but I just didn't realize how big some of those hits were. So here are some facts about the Yankees during the decade. They had 14,174 hits from 2010 to 2019. The most came in 2019 with 1,493. Of those hits, 1,259 came off Brett Gardner's bat, which led the 134 players who came to bat for the Yankees in that decade. The team recorded hits against 1,068 different pitchers in the decade, with 275 coming against David Price, which doesn't seem like a surprise because the Yankees seem to have his number. And the Yankees had 48 walk-offs in the decade. I'm not going to go through all 10 hits because that'll take too long, but I will mention some of them that I remember clearly. Truthfully, I remember all of them. I just didn't realize how big some of the hits were by WPA. Okay, so number 9 was Gary Sanchez's walk-off against the Twins in April of 2018. The Twins were finally about to beat the Yankees. They were up 3-1 in the bottom of the ninth, and then Fernando Rodney gave up a 3-run home run to Gary Sanchez, and the Yankees won 4-3. The Yankees-Twins thing that I can't even come up with a word to describe is just so odd. This has been happening since 2002. Do you realize the player turnover in that time? I mean, we're talking nearly 20 years of the Yankees just owning the Twins. And it doesn't matter who's playing for the Twins or who's playing for the Yankees. The Yankees always come out on top. And as I've said, at some point, the luck has to change. I'm assuming it'll be sooner rather than later, but I thought maybe the luck was going to change in 2009 and then in 2010, and it just didn't, so who knows. Number 8 came against the Rays on July 3rd, 2015. Brian McCann hit a walk-off, and I remember being annoyed at Michael Kay's awful, "That's fireworks!" call, because as he was up to bat, someone was setting off fireworks in the Bronx, and you could see them over the scoreboard in right center, and it was a long game, too. Chase and Shreve gave up 2 runs in the top of the 12th that put the Rays up 5-3. Thankfully, he only gave up those 2 runs. In the bottom half of the inning, Gardner walked, A-Rod hit a single, Teixeira drove in a run and made it 5-4, and then with runners on first and second, Brian McCann walked off. Now, number six is an interesting one because, as Bobby says in his piece, he says, here is our first, oh yeah, that guy was a Yankee. Chris Young. Remember when Chris Young was on the Yankees? Yeah, 2014. That's a forgettable season during the 2010s decade. So the Yankees were out of first place by 11 and a half games in September. And this was also against the Rays. Alex Cobb had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning and also had a 4-0 lead. Now, Martin Prado, remember when he played for the Yankees? He hit a 2-run homer to make it 4-2. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Chase Headley was hit by a pitch. Ichiro hit a double. Zealous Wheeler struck out. And then Chris Young ended the game on a 3-run home run. So think of all those names of all the people that were on the team. You know, if you look at the roster 2013, 2014, it's just, that guy was on the Yankees? Or, I can't believe that guy was on the Yankees. Number five is one of my favorite ones because this game annoyed me to no end. It was when the Yankees were playing the Cubs in May of 2017. Michael Pineda gave up 2 runs and the Yankees couldn't score for the first 8 innings of the game in Wrigley. And it was just so frustrating. It looked like they were hungover or something because they just looked awful. So it was 2-0 going into the top of the ninth. Chase Headley hit a single. Jacoby Ellsbury worked a 2-out walk. Yes, Jacoby Ellsbury was actually playing. And Brett Gardner came up to bat. As usual, it was a long at bat. It was 7 pitches. And then he hit a 3-run home run. It looked like it woke him up because, as I said, it seemed like the Yankees were sleepwalking during that game. And as soon as he hit the home run, you know, he was going around the bases and pumping his fist. It almost felt like a playoff game. The Yankees held on to win that game. That was one of those games that seemed like it was going to be a surefire loss. It turned into a win at the last second. Those are always fun. The next home run that I remember very well happened in 2010, number 4 on the list. It was an A-Rod home run. So September 17th, 2010, the Yankees were down 3-1 in Camden Yards facing Koji Uehara. And the Yankees were down to their final out. A-Rod was up. He worked a 5-pitch at bat, and then he hit a 3-run home run. Then Mo came in, pitched a 1-2-3 ninth inning, and the Yankees won. So it was another one of those, okay, they're going to lose games, to, oh my God, they're going to win games. Now, number 2 on the list is one of my favorites because, you know, it happened in a season that wasn't great for the Yankees. They didn't make the playoffs, 2016. But this home run ensured that Boston would not clinch the division on Yankee Stadium's field. So September 28th, 2016, Yankees were 10 games behind Boston. The season was over, and the game was scoreless until the eighth inning. Boston scored 3 runs off a combination of Adam Warren and Tommy Lane. If it hasn't happened yet, if someone creates a Sporkle quiz in which you have to name every person who played for the Yankees between 2010 and 2019, who's going to remember that Tommy Lane played for them? Back to the game action. The Yankees were scoreless in the bottom half of the eighth, so it was 3-0 going into the bottom of the ninth, with Craig Kimbrell looming. Brett Gardner got things started with a base hit off Kimbrell. Ellsbury and Sanchez each worked a walk. Then Kimbrell walked Brian McCann to load the bases, which knocked him out of the game, made the score 3-1. Joe Kelly came in. He recorded 2 outs. So 2 outs, bases loaded. Mark Teixeira comes up, and he hits a walk-off grand slam. And I cheered that home run as if it were a playoff home run. I knew it would be Mark Teixeira's last big moment in pinstripes. Like I said, it prevented Boston from celebrating on the Yankees' field, and it was just a fun comeback for the Yankees. Number one is surprising because I didn't expect it to be the biggest hit of the regular season during the decade, but that just goes to show you that you never know. June of 2014, the Yankees were down 3-1 in the ninth inning against the Orioles. Zach Britton was on the mound, and, you know, Zach Britton was Zach Britton back then, and it seemed as if the Yankees were not going to do anything against him. But, as the famous saying goes, you can't predict baseball, Susan. Gardner led off with a single, Then Britton got two outs. Teixeira walked. McCann hit a single, which made the score 3-2. It brought up Carlos Beltran, and Beltran hit a home run into the seats just ahead of the left field bleachers. I can actually still picture the home run in my mind, I remember. I also remember tweeting, "Not at the table, Carlos," when he hit that. So I'm just surprised that that's the number one hit of the regular season in the decade, because, again, 2014 was very forgettable. So big thanks to Bobby Montano for that article and for giving me something to talk about today. You guys should read views from 314. All of the writers on that site are very solid. Some of them have been on this podcast and will probably be on this podcast throughout the winter, so be on the listen for that. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Cyber Monday. I hope you're all getting good deals, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.